Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode is number 440. If you mix those numbers up, you get the infinite. I'll see if anybody knows how I just did that magic number math. So we're about ready to talk about the most important subject, technically, that you can talk about. There is nothing that comes before this. Not any of the stuff that we talked about, not video, not anything. This is the first thing that gets you to everywhere else. And we've never, as far as I can remember, talked about it in depth here on the show. So today we're going to talk about schedules. And John has the title of the show, Perfect Daily Schedule for a Real Estate Agent in 2024. I'm going to say that we're just going to talk about what may some tools to find the perfect schedule for yourself in 2024. But before we jump into that, the fearless producer of this show, the magic man behind three top podcasts in three different sections of three different industries, he is here waiting to dazzle and entertain you and make fun of me. But I want to let him introduce himself before we jump into the meat of the show. Go ahead, John.
Oh, got it, Ralph. So the 440, if they do get the importance of the number, do they get a prize, Robert?
Yeah, you get a free call with me.
All right, then. What more could you ask for, real estate agents? I do two other podcasts, folks, but they're in the same area, just one's targeted at different groups in that particular industry. But so I am the co-founder of Mailroy. We are a company that produces great looking websites on WordPress for you. Plus, we offer a great CRM and online marketing platform, which has a focus on Facebook. I said WordPress twice there, but Facebook, back over to you, Rob.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I should think you should offer a better prize, though.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of Inbound REM. Inbound Real Estate Marketing is what that stands for. We're the only inbound marketing agency that I know of that focuses on residential real estate. We use SEO as one of our mechanisms to market our clients. 80% of our business is generated organically. We focus on all four quadrants of Google, which is local, video, images, and traditional search. We're really good at it, and we have a lot of free information about how to do it yourself if you're interested in that. You can find it all at inboundrem.com. All right. With no further ado, we're going to jump into schedule. This is a fascinating topic, one which I hesitated to take on, actually, because I feel like it's very personal. It's a personal subject. And John's nodding. For those of you who are not watching, he's nodding. So, but nonetheless, we selected it and we're going to talk about it. John, I'm going to do a preamble, which I kind of informed you that I was going to do a preamble. And I want to let everybody know two things. One, digital has saved my schedule. Being a digital entrepreneur is the best thing I've ever done for myself, because all the years, which was 30 plus, that I was a professional sales leader and sales manager, I ran schedules very similar to what we're going to talk about, generally up at 5 a.m. and not down or done with work related or like my intrinsically central schedule until 7 p.m. And I certainly experienced some success. Rarely was I not in the top 1 or 2% of any sales force. And when I was not in the sales force, I was usually leading the sales force. So certainly I'm plenty of experience, not directly in real estate. So having said that, your schedule, in my opinion, needs to serve one thing and one thing alone, which is what your aspirations are, where you want to go with your life and your career. I've always generated a deep dislike of the word goals. Goals are just dreams with deadlines. I do like that thought. And your dream should be unique to you. You can want to open a bakery business. You don't have to want to make $1 million as a real estate salesperson. It could be a tool that you're using to serve some other part of your life, or you could really love doing it. And then if you do really love doing it, my advice would be, how do you do it more efficiently with more passion and preserve more of your personal time to do other things that broaden your character in your life? That's where I would come from these days. So having said all of that, John, you went to three different websites. Went to a influencer called Jaime Resendiz. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. He's a realtor. He's got a really great video that we both watched in order to come up with some notes. He went to Tom Ferry, who's got a lot on scheduling, but he referenced a post called Real Estate Agent's Perfect Day. And then he went to Real Estate Agent's Schedule on a site called Community Influencer. And they all have various things that they're talking about breaking down your day. But why don't we get into morning routine number one, and you share your thoughts about that, John?
Well, it's a kind of the first hour before you go into kind of battle. And, you know, it's kind of getting yourself in the right mindset. Because I think if you're going to be effective in this industry, you've got to get yourself in the right mind, because there's a lot of rejection. Obviously, if one of the good things about being more digital focused is it's going to reduce the amount of face-to-face rejection you're going to be exposed to, but there's still going to be an element there. I think it does depend on the target audience. More of what I would say are more classical lead generated processes, like knocking on doors, phone calls. I think they can be effective if your target audience might be older. But I also believe in my heart that a lot of these more traditional marketing lead generative methodologies are gradually reducing in effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're still engaged, and there are a lot of trainers and a lot of influencers that still swear at utilizing what I call these more traditional methodologies, I think you're going to be exposed to a fair bit of rejection, and you're going to have to get yourself in your mindset. And I do this myself, and I also map out, I have a kind of regular pattern depending on the day. My pattern varies depending on the work day, which I described to Robert before we started recording. And I do have a pattern, and I kind of work it out in this hour. Plus, I look at my notes and I draw up a kind of rough schedule. And I do think you do need some kind of plan of action for each day, which has to be adapt. You've got to be prepared to be able to adapt. On the other hand, if you've got no schedule, I think the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months, and it all kind of floats away, really, Rob.
I don't disagree with that. Currently, I've got what would be what I would reference to everybody for me personally is a semi-retired schedule. I generally set aside 6 hours a day, 6 days a week for theoretical, like hard work practices. For me, morning schedule as a neurodivergent, which is really, really, really important to mention to everybody here. It's something that I've been unmedicated for my entire life, but definitely have. And so my schedule really is based on a number of psychological strategies that I've found to work very well for me. When I wake up and I know that I need to have a productive day, I start with the smallest things possible as fast as possible, which is like make my bed, get out. I have a 10-minute workout routine and a 10-minute stretch routine that on days in which I'm doing what's called high productivity, I know for a fact that I've got to roll right into those routines as soon as I wake up, because the second I get distracted, my whole day can get derailed. So for me, it's about hitting those small things. Now, once I'm focused, it's hard to get me unfocused. So if I get to those 30 minutes and I manage to successfully complete those activities, oftentimes I can roll into my other things, which for me personally, I don't have a scripted routine because my mind rebels against it. What I have is a general list of things that I need to accomplish, and I cycle in what feels best to me that day in that into that slot when I have the time. I've spent years trying to do various routines, and that works best for me, which is why I was hesitant to talk about the schedule, because I kind of felt like a hypocrite since I don't maintain something that looks like a regular schedule. But so for me, that hour, it makes sense to me. What I've seen other people do, other people I've worked with, other people I've coached, is obviously wake up and pray, wake up and exercise, wake up and spend time with their family, wake up and get their kids to school, wake up and do things like of a wide variety. But generally speaking, the psychological like element, what worked the best for me when I was in a high pressure, high productivity sales environments was doing 10 minutes of tasks and then definitely getting into recordings that were motivational to me. I probably listened to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours of sales material and psychological material, because I discovered early on in my career when I was about 19 that it worked really well for me personally, listening to Zig Ziglar or Tom Hopkins or somebody like that. It actually ramped me up, riled me up for my day, and all of my productivity and record-breaking sales activities were done on the backs of the old sales masters and these boxes of cassettes and such that I would have, that I would always just put into either a Walkman or my car and play that material like right up until the point that I walked into the sales office or walked into the sales appointment, always right until
that. You do realize that some of the listeners of this podcast don't know what we're talking about when you say a cassette.
Oh, really? You think?
Well, it came up to me with a podcast I was doing this morning. We were talking about a cassette, and the younger member of the panel said, what is that?
How young was this person?
He was about 26.
John, sometimes you just blow holes in my whole day without even, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if you do it on purpose. That makes... Wow, really? Are you kidding right now?
We're that old, Rob.
Wow. All right. We're going to move on to number two, because John just took all the air out of my sails, like all of it.
It made me feel very old this morning.
Wow.
Because he wasn't kidding. He didn't know what we were doing for him.
How can you be 26 and not know what a cassette that is? Come on.
I don't think he was winding us up, actually, Rob.
Okay. Because I know people who are 26 that still know what vinyl is. Like, if you know what a record is, come on. You know what a cassette is. 8-track, maybe not. Maybe not. But a cassette, come on. Okay. Number two. John's going to lead us off here. Lead generation.
Yeah, especially on the digital side, it'll be interesting what you say, because obviously if it's a more traditional methodology, what they're saying, that after you've done some of the things that Robert's outlined, you're going to have to be into lead generation, and I think it's best to get this done in the morning, because in the afternoon, other stuff might rear its head, viewing properties with clients, dealing with paperwork, dealing with emergencies that might come up first thing in the morning. But after if you dealt with an emergency situation in the morning, you've got to be doing your lead generation. But like I say, they've got 3 hours here. That's a hard slog. But that's a kind of the more traditional model where you're calling for leads, when you're door knocking, when you're touching base with previous clients. And touching with other previous clients, I think if you're more digitally focused, I think that's probably an area that you could expand, which I know by looking at the research, most real estate agents are really poor about keeping in contact with previous clients.
Sure.
And they're really, really bad about that. So if you're more, and also producing digital content, if you're not hiring a superb company that Robert runs, if you can't, if you're not doing that, you should, and you're generating all the kind of content, video posts, social media content, but also keeping in contact with previous clients. If you have, if you're new, it's producing all the digital stuff. But I'll be interested to see what Rob's got to say about this.
I spent a lifetime doing chase marketing. All of my lead generation, all of my sales was always outbound calls. The only company that really that started to change for me a lot consistently was at Agent Image, where we were doing more inbound. But even then, when they hired me on, they hired me on to make outbound calls to their 10,000 plus customers and create a sales process to sell those customers online marketing services. So I chased and chased and chased and chased. And we chased and chased and chased and chased. My whole career has been chasing people down, which is why I switched to being an inbound marketer. Literally, I've done it for 30 years chasing. And I discovered a lot of different things. What one of the things that I discovered is that, number one, the psychology of where people are at as in the information age as a society, is they're really getting to a place where most people want to be in charge of when they call a sales-related resource, whether that's when they initiate interest, when they're following up on a proposal or a pitch or whatever you want to call it. Most of the time, people want to be in charge of that process. And there's lots and lots of tools that prove that I'm not wrong. I have a tool on my phone that literally forbids anybody from getting to me that I don't want them to get to me. And I know a lot of other people do too. So when it comes to like lead generation, I'd rather spend my hours doing something that can speak to tens of thousands of people as opposed to one. That's what, where my mind and digital has gotten in the age that we live in. I'd rather spend my lead generation time building out a video. Even if I made a video for a highly focused customer group, let's say people that sell log cabins, if you're me, right? And there's not that many of those. There's only so many of those in the US, but let's say I have a really great strategy to give away for free to people that sell log cabins. So I create a video, post it. Let's say there's 500 agents in the country that might be interested in it. And maybe they're going to see that video over the span of 5 years. I'm done with the video in 2 hours, completely finished. Maybe it takes 5 years for 500 agents who do that specific strategy to see it. The way that I always think of lead generation these days is still, it does not matter. I knocked on 500 doors in 2 hours, something that is literally impossible for me to do any other way except using digital. And I'm using a very minute example. Some of the time with some of the content that I produced, it knocks on thousands of doors and I spent a couple of hours making it. So when you're knocking on thousands of doors in just a couple of hours and you look at lead generation as a mathematical equation, it is digital that has saved my schedule. I only take inbound calls and I don't send out outbound follow-up emails at all. And I'm talking about not one single outbound email. What I do when I talk to a prospect is if they're not already signed up to my email list, I just put them there. So they're getting an email from me, a couple of them every month. Is it specific to the offer that we talked about? No. But I don't need to do that. If they want to get back in touch with me after speaking to me for a few hours, they certainly can. There's a link to my calendar. So I spend zero time in follow-up and I spend zero time other than digital lead generation collection. And it's the best decision I've ever made for my entire life and career. I work less, I sell more, and I've taken charge of my results in a way that I don't think I could have without the digital revolution being what it is. So I have very strong, and I've helped other clients do this, which is what I told John. I have real estate agents that, more important, like one of my case studies, which is on my website, is we've got a guy that we've increased his income by 2.5 times and he works about 30% less. That is not the right equation for some of you. Some of you are workaholics. He's a brand new father. He wanted to work less and make more. We figured out a way to have that happen. And we did it mostly using digital tools, digital lead generation, digital follow-up tools, digital calendars, digital everything. He doesn't spend very much time, just like I don't spend very much time making that wasted effort of like, I'm going to call you back. Call me in August. It's such a blow off. It's like, okay, well, sure. But why? Call me back when if you're interested, right?
Yeah. I think it's time for our break, Rob.
You got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back. Wherever you're listening to us or wherever you can hear the sound of my voice, do me a favor, look at that platform, give us a thumbs up, like or share our content with other real estate agents that you think might need a perspective on schedule. We would really appreciate it, number one. And number two, if you're our fan, if you're our audience member, reach out to John, reach out to me, leave us a comment somewhere, anything to let us know, raise your hand and say, hey, we listen to you guys. We'd really appreciate it. It warrants the work that we put into the show. John does a lot of heavy lifting. It would make him feel good. And I'd appreciate that. All right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 440 of the MailRite Show. We're talking about the perfect real estate schedule for 2024. In other words, what is the perfect schedule for you? All right. So we've talked about a lot. I really spend a lot of time talking at the end of lead generation. We're going to talk about administrative tasks, which generally speaking is another separate section inside your schedule. John has used a combination of looking at these schedule recommendations from professional trainers and professional agents to come up with, you know, three-hour block. Whether you agree with that or not, I don't know that I do, but administrative tasks he's got here on the calendar. So why don't you talk about that for a second?
You know, I thought 3 hours was a bit crazy because I'd love to get some feedback from our listeners. I think if you're spending 3 hours on administration, I think per day, I think you should be looking at outsourcing that. And I think most brokerage, if you're working with a brokerage, if it's a more traditional model, they provide administrative services. I don't know what you think, Rob. If I was spending 3 hours per day on an administration, I would hope to be able to cut that down by utilizing digital processes, assistant, or the brokerage resources. What do you reckon?
So administrative tasks, 3 hours. If any of you are looking at this and going, I really spend 3 hours doing this, then I'm going to definitely recommend you. I'm working on two different types of videos right now, which is where you, one video where you understand the value of your digital tools that you're currently using, and just use a logic formula in order to decide whether you keep them on or off, or you move marketing, whatever. You just do have a mathematical formula that helps you do that. I learned it from Zig Ziglar. And then another one to break down, which you should always have the answer to this question: how much do you make per hour? A lot of you are professional salespeople that are effectively commission only. That still doesn't mean you shouldn't. If you don't know the answer of how many hours I worked last year, and I made $80,000 gross or net, whatever the number is, you need to be able to take what you estimate your hours are and then break that into an hourly. Most professional real estate agents make well over $150 an hour. You just don't. Some work less than others. But for the effort that you put in, most of you make over $150 an hour. That would mean that you're spending $450 of your time in a 3-hour period doing administrative tasks. Guess what, guys? for about $15, I can hire, that is, for those of you who are not following with the math, that's 10% of the value of your time. I can hire and do, I do this for me all the time. I can hire somebody to do all this admin stuff. I've got way more people than most other people do, but I also spend most of my time doing whatever the hell I want. I value that so much. Don't let anybody tell you if this crazy commercial country that we live in, what you should be doing with your time. You want to meditate, you want to play some games, you want to see a movie, you want to spend some time with your kids, you want to go to church, whatever it is, you should be able to do that. Right now I'm helping a person that's newly trying to get sober, and I'm spending a ton of time with them, like every single day. And you know what? There's nothing I'd rather be doing with my time. I'm not getting paid for it, but it's more gratifying to my soul than just about any other activity that I take on. So how do I do that though? I hire administrative assistants. Anything that can be done by me that is bookkeeping, that is social media posting, that is barring showing up physically for this show, everybody can do everything else. So administrative tasks, hire somebody. Please don't have 3 hours for this. If you do have 3 hours for it, look at it closely.
Yeah, I would kind of mix that up with the stuff in the morning where you're doing outreach to existing clients you've worked with, you know, to keep that relationship going and see if they can refer some people to you. Using BonBon to the people that have outreached to you through the website, blah, blah. There's loads of stuff we've covered. The next one, so I wouldn't spend 3 hours listening to what Rob said, and then in the afternoon you got appointments and networking. Well, networking, I think you should be going, depending on where you are in your career, if you're in the more build your book of business stage, you should be going to everything in your community that you can go to. And I mean, is don't stick your card in front of people. And if you've got anybody, it needs to be a bit more sophisticated, but it's really important to go to everything, you know, build a calendar. Obviously, if you're not doing presentations or you're not showing people around properties, you should be going to stuff in your community to get yourself out there. You know, you can't be the invisible real estate agent in 2024. That ain't going to get you anywhere. What do you reckon, Rob?
I reckon that I agree with this 1,000%. Let's just say that many of you, if not most of you, either are not digital marketers, don't want to be digital marketers, or only could see applying a little bit of your time to digital marketing. That's a lot of real estate agents I talk to, John, maybe the vast majority. All right. So how do you generate your business? Networking is probably still one of the best possible ways to do it. Door knocking is not as effective as it used to be. It's harder to catch people at home. So I'm not saying it's not effective. There's a lot of people out there listening to this show that still do door knocking with a great deal of success. I would personally do circle prospecting. Just go out and see Ricky Carruth, to see what that is. If you don't know, he's got good programs where you can see people doing circle prospecting. But honestly, if I was a brand new real estate agent, here's what I would do for sure. I would find every building, every master plan community in my area, and I would create a calendar where all the homeowners association meetings that were open to the public, which is most of them, happen. Okay. I create a calendar. My calendar would look like, I'm going to go to 5 or 6 homeowners association events each and every single week, because I would be meeting either people that are thinking of buying in that community, people that own in that community, all at those meetings. So you go and you glad hand, or you contribute to conversations that are happening about the community. You see what the tone of the conversations is, and you figure out if there's something that you can contribute. Because if you can draw attention to yourself without a neon sign saying, I'm a realtor, give me your business, if you just go there, and get to know people and be happy about that, you're going to generate a lot of business. You're just going to, it's sales is always about one thing, building relationships. That's it. It's about building relationships. So go to the place where the relationships are going to benefit you the best. And that's where people own the homes or want to buy the homes, in places that you can service. And homeowners association meetings are very solid ways for you to get a business up and off the ground. And then there's all sorts of other ways to do it, but that's a rock solid one that will work throughout most of the US. All right. Number five, review a day ahead, 1 hour. Go ahead, John.
1 hour. I don't think, but I do think there is a need of a period, probably not an hour though, but there is a period to reflect on what's happened, because it, like I say, it can all, the days can merge into a week can merge into the next week, and then it's next month. It can all start to merge into a blur, as I say, and you can start to drift. You can start to lose focus in the merge, as I say. So it's a good time to spend 20, you know, what happened during the day? What could I've done better? What can I do better than tomorrow? Am I moving forward gradually? I don't mean spectacularly. Am I keeping my costs under control? Have I got enough? Because I'm doing that, that gives me the opportunity to keep at it. And am I moving gradually forward? Is that making sense, Rob?
Yeah. Reviewing your schedule 1 day ahead is always a good idea, if, especially if you're a professional commission-only salesperson. Some of the schedule stuff I'm sharing with you is now my current role as a founder, which I moved into. I've already paid the brutal price of working 7 days a week and hundreds of extra hours over and above and beyond working for other people. And now I've moved into a different part of my schedule in my life. You as a professional salesperson should always review the day ahead. Always be mentally prepared and focused. Zig Ziglar and every single person I've ever met, when they talk about schedule, they suggest that you review the schedule like 10 minutes, 15 minutes in advance. I agree with this. It helps. It helps focus you. It helps if it's the last thing that you think about before you go to sleep. It helps in the 10 minutes. Anthony Robbins says the same thing. Pretty much every professional sales trainer will tell you, review your schedule for 10 minutes before you go to sleep, because it prepares the subconscious mind for the events of the next day. That's it.
I've got to tell people, Rob, I do work seven days a week, but I don't work 7 days a week. And what I mean by that is I have a schedule, and it has periods mapped out. But some afternoons, I take a break. I take a couple of hours off. I've got it set up that I can, I've got other people in my team that can take sales calls, mm-hmm. and I can clear off, and I do. But then I might be working all Sunday, or I might take all Sunday off. So when somebody says, how many, well, you know, I can say to them, I do work 7 days a week. But in some ways, I don't work 7 days a week, because if I want to take some time off, unless there's a sales call or there's a meeting that I've definitely got to be there, I've got everything, a bit like you, I've got everything covered if necessary. I do still do a lot of it because I think it's important. So I keep a feel of things. But so it's a very different lifestyle to somebody that's employed 9 to 5, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, of course, if you are going to create a schedule, which for many, if not most of you, this is a good idea. This is a very good idea. Oftentimes, the number one problem that commission salespeople have is discipline. Discipline, structure, schedules. If you create something that you automatically do, no matter whether it's the most effective thing or not, then that's the best schedule. If you can roll out the door and knock on some doors, even if your contact rate is low, but you can do the activity, then that's what you need to do. You schedule the door knocking. The place of least resistance for what your skills and experience are. Are you a professional writer? Then write emails in your lead generation, door knocking, networking time. Do not struggle against the activity when you're scheduling, when you're creating a schedule. Don't go, oh, I need to learn this so I can't create a schedule yet. No, don't do that. Whoever you are, whatever you've got some kind of experience. If all of us were in grade school and a lot of us sold chocolate to raise money, which means that you know how to get out there in front of people and say, hey, I've got something that I'd like to talk to you about. So go to parking lots, go to wherever the people are. And that's what every professional salesperson will ever do. All the no's and the resistance that you get when you go to super duper high volume, like I'm not interested in what you've got to talk about. The people that take the most rejection are the people that are trying to get ballots signed inside parking lots. And how do I know that? I used to sell perfume in parking lots. So I know for sure what that experience is like. And it hasn't changed much over 20 or 30 years. You'll get one yes for every 100 no's and you'll take those no's in person. But it'll build your resistance up so that when somebody says you have something you should talk to people about, you're never going to be like, you're not going to care all that much. You're going to be able to do it. And that kind of work leads you into easily being able to do video, easily sitting down doing podcasts, easily being on film. Because what are people going to do? Reject you? You've taken thousands upon thousands of rejections. It stops mattering as much. Tom Hopkins used to say, go out, collect your nose. And I love that about him. Collect those no's. Go out and get them right now. Get excited. Go out, collect your no's. And I've trained hundreds of sales forces.
Well, my rejection with my face has been a bit different. It's just been date rejections. I'm used to it. You know, but I've got the face for rejection, haven't I, Rob?
Oh, my God, John. All right. This is English humor coming to the fore again. All right. Personal time. Whatever you do or don't do with your schedule, make sure that you've got personal time. Personal time is family. It's dinner, engaging in a favorite pastime. Personally, I think that we as a country and people get this all wrong. Personal time should also be expansive. Things that expand your mind, things that expand your soul, things that really, really, really move the needle, such as time with family, actual playtime with your kids, reading them a bedtime story, playing games with the family, playing games by yourself. That's my opinion. Years and years of buying deeply into the commercial garbage that we oftentimes are like. I know professional real estate agents that make $50 million a year. There's not
been. It's also linked to the networking side, just to finish off, is to help people out. You know, I think the two things, if you're starting out, is really get a mentor, you know, work for an experienced agent, be their buyer agent, do the open houses, do everything you can for that experienced agent. And it's the networking side and really helping people and being as helpful as you can. And if people like you and they think you've helped them out, I think apart from the sociopaths out there, I think most people will try and help you out with supplying some leads.
Fair enough. Anyway, I say expansive time as part of your personal time. Anyhow, I think we've done a pretty good job of talking about schedule. We've certainly filled up the time. We've done 40 minutes on the subject. I hope that all of you who are listening to the show will do us a favor and leave us some comments. I try to tackle this subject with integrity. And I know I don't work a professional salesperson's schedule anymore. That was my hesitation, but I've certainly done plenty of it, so I can speak with a great deal of authority on the subject. So anyway, John, thanks for putting this together. I really appreciate it. It was an interesting subject, a departure from anything that we've done. I love it when you look around and say, we've never done this before. Let's do it. So cool. If people wanted to get in touch with you, how would you have them do it?
I'll go to the mail-write.com website, have a look at what we got to offer, and then book a chat with me. It's always informal. It's not high-pressured in any way. And I'd love to speak to you and see if we're a good fit and we see if Mail Write could help you out. Okay, over to you, Rob.
a particular interest to all of you is if you have questions about building or using leveraging WordPress, John is probably one of the country's best about the general subject of that and what could or could not be done, so on and so forth. So those questions. I'm SEO. You have something related to SEO, I'm probably the guy. So if you want to talk to somebody about search engine optimization in any of its various forms, we would be a good place to start. Go to inboundrem.com, look up under my name or services, look at our case studies, get an example of our pricing. And then if you're still interested, you book an appointment with me and we'll have a conversation about it. That's it. Take us offline, John.